Good morning. My name is Ben. If you don't know me, I'm a deacon here. Serve as a missional community leader. My wife and Janelle and I have been here for over 15 years now. And excited to preach today on peace. We've got a kid's sermon. It's week one. So kiddos, got a couple questions for you. And then if you get them right, and only if you get them right, we're going to play a little game. Okay, so my question is very simple, straight to the point. If we're going to be talking on peace, what is peace? Someone give me an answer. Yeah, right back there, first hand. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Rainey. All right, something really good. Dad, what was the other part? Calmness. Good. I like that. Philip, go ahead. I like that. Good illustration. Like inside. It's like you're inside a house and it's storming outside. Marshall? The opposite of chaos. Man, good answer. Did you steal my sermon notes before we got started? Okay, because I'm just curious. All right, anybody else? What is peace? Okay, so turbulence on the outside, right? And the craziness, but inside of us, all right? On the inside, whether it's in a building or maybe inside of a person, there can be peace, right? Like Rainey said, a calmness. Okay, so got another question for you. All right, before we got one more question, maybe then we might play a little game. All right. Is Christmas a peaceful time for you? Someone said yes. Yes, Eli. All right. I got thumbs up. Marshall, is it peaceful or not? Oh, okay. Tell me why. Why sometimes? All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of complex and confusing a little bit, isn't it? All right? Because there are things in our world right now, in December of 2025, that are going to speed up our lives and make them a little crazier and a little busier. A good word there with chaos. And then there's going to be sometimes an opportunity to stop, calm down, slow down. And, you know, I like Christmas music. Played a lot around. Anyone that knows me knows that I'm a Christmas music guy. And so I thought I'd play a little game with you guys just to get started. That kind of gives a little bit of an illustration to this idea of speed things up and slow things down. Because I was listening to some Christmas music as I was putting together this sermon, I realized something. Christmas music does the same thing, right? Right? We play a song, it's like, all right, let's go, let's get hyped, it's Christmas time. And then it's like, calmer, quieter song after that, right? So if you could, let's throw up the next slide. I've got a few songs. I want you guys to categorize them for me, all right? All you got to do is just put up 1, 2, 3, or 4, right? The green and red, the gold and silver. A song that's supposed to be quiet and calm, and it actually is, all right? I'm going to play a few introductions to some songs for you. It's going to be very quick, fun little game. And you know what, adults, you can play along with us if you want. But throw up a 1 real fast, all right? I'm gonna see if we can do it the quickest. And then number 2, it says it's supposed to be loud and crazy, and it is, it fits the song, okay? And then I'm gonna play, you know, maybe a song that's gonna be supposed to be loud and crazy, but actually it's quiet and calm. And then throw up a number 4 if it's a song that's supposed to be quiet and calm, but it's loud and crazy. So I'm gonna play some remixes, all right? These are not all gonna be originals, that's where it's gonna get hard. So the first one, you guys ready? See if we can do it here. That one's pretty easy, right? I picked a really wonderful singer, didn't I? There's Elmo, dude. Right, two is right. Good job. Now you're getting the idea, right? So let's do the next one. Let's see who can throw up the hand the first. One, two, or three, or four, right? All right, got some mixed answers here, okay? Is that it's the same song? Supposed to be loud and crazy, but how is it played? Right? So what's the answer? Three. Very good. You getting the idea, right? Okay, here we go. All right, next one.
Nose reindeer.
All right, what do you got? Now, I don't think Rudolph is a very quiet and calm song, personally. And no offense to you kiddos, it might be my least favorite. But Jack Johnson does it right here, okay? And again, I think that's definitely a three, right? All right, I got just a couple more for us. This one's really easy. I only have to play like 1 second of it. You ready? That's a good one, isn't it? What is it? It's the original John Williams from Home Alone. Very good. All right. How about this one? Take a guess. You got to know the answer before you do it.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed.
It's an AI version of Away in the Manger. Probably should be quiet and calm, right? Four's right. Okay, last one. Christmas, Burl Ives. I don't know. Three, maybe? Right? That's a loud and crazy. Kind of crazy. Daniel thinks one. It's supposed to be quiet and calm, and it is. All right. So this is, right, this is a lo-fi version. If you've listened to lo-fi, I'm just going to let it play the whole time we're going. Right? Most peaceful sermon you've ever heard. No. So kiddos, the reason why I give that as an illustration, as an example, okay, is because a lot of times I have, especially this year, listened to a lot more lo-fi music, and in the last few weeks I've started to listen to lo-fi Christmas music, and I like it because it calms me down, like you said, right? Like, if we're going to be talking about peace today, it gives me just like a little bit of taste of that. In the midst of busier times or chaos, all right? But something happens usually. Maybe it's at the end of the song, or maybe the kids, I'm listening to the house and the kids start yelling at each other, or I'm listening to it at work and someone comes in with a request, okay? Or I'm listening to it in the car and someone pulls out in front of me on my way here, right? Inevitably, it ends. The song ends, and that little taste of calm that we described has gone away, right? And so today we're going to be talking about peace, right? The idea is, in the end, we shouldn't expect to be able to find peace in our circumstances, in little tastes and nuggets of the quiet and calm that we get in our life, right? Although those are good, and sometimes they're needed, a reprieve or a rest, vacation, even some time away from school and work, okay? Some time to stop and reflect, those things are good. But in the end, right, our peace comes from Christ and from his finished work on the cross. And so today I want to challenge you guys to find some answers to me. All right, kiddos. All right. First question, okay, that you're going to hopefully be able to answer by the end of today. Why is it hard to have peace in our hearts when we are caught up in a busy season like we will probably have this December 2025? And two, what does it mean to have peace of Christ in your heart? So take those questions home with you, discuss them with your parents, and then I want you to tell them what you've heard. All right, give them the answer. Don't let your parents give you the answer. All right, so today we're going to be in Isaiah again, just like last week, Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. So if we could go ahead and put that up there. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. All right, let's pray. Dear God, just thank you so much for an opportunity to stop and reflect on the coming of Christ this Advent season. Just thank you so much, God, for the message of hope we were able to reflect on last week. I pray, God, that you would help us as we navigate all the things, the busy, the crazy, the calm, and the opportunity to stop and reflect and all of those things. God, I pray that you would help us to learn where peace really does originate and where it can come from in our lives. And so, God, I pray that you'd speak through this word today. And in your name I pray, amen. So I didn't realize when I signed up for the sermon just how a big of a deal that this is Natalie James's not only her favorite series, but also her favorite week. I don't know if anyone else feels that way about peace, maybe, right? Hopefully a lot of you do, but excited to talk on the subject, okay? So we're going to start in Isaiah. So often in Advent series and the lead up and the approach to the Christmas time, we start there. And so, you know, just like Tim last week had started in Isaiah 9, we're going to start in Isaiah 11 because we get a prophecy and a lead up. A summative example of Jesus' coming, his life, and what it means when he has come finally and he's here to reign forever. And so, it's kind of neat because a lot of those examples are found in kind of the same types of sermons that we've been doing throughout the fall, leading up into, I know eventually we'll get to a series even on Revelation. And so, wanted to first start by just like piggybacking on Tim's idea that, what we get to talk about isn't just the lead up to the story of a baby in a manger. And, it's more about what that means because it's about the story of Christ's redemptive arc, right? And this longer, like a meta narrative that we get to experience inside passages like these, right? Where we see the story of a Messiah coming and him making things right and making things new. And here today, as we talk about the peace and where it truly does come from, we get to see the final story, a little glimpse of that and a little snap into the future. And that's really where, the peace comes from, not from like a time of the year that actually maybe is a little bit crazier, like Marshall had pointed to, right, than what we would like, at least. And so I think we did the Advent series, Hope, Peace, Love, and Joy 2 years ago, and we're doing it again this year. And I really love just the way at certain times and intervals you can kind of groove a path as you go through something at the same time in similar years in similar ways. And so I know last year we had done something a little bit different. Maybe we'll do it every other year, kind of in that rhythm. But I remember 2 years ago, where I was and how life was and what was happening and all the things swirling around us. And we were getting ready for an adoption and life was a little bit crazy. And I remember that sermon on peace 2 years ago. And so, it's nice to be able to stop and reflect in a rhythmic way, something that might be might be a little familiar, right? But nonetheless, will give us probably what we need, like here the first week of December 2025. So kind of just diving to the passage, right? Like kind of the story is we see a prophecy from Isaiah, a beautiful portrait, really, of you know, this idea that out of the lineage of what was described as kind of like a dead stump, Jesus, a green sprout, emerges. The Spirit is with him. He reigns with perfect knowledge, perfect wisdom, and perfect understanding, and his motives are correct and good. Because of him, we see peace. We get these tangible examples, right? The wolf with the lamb, the leopard with the goat, and the order of the world. Ultimately, after the Messiah's return, will be rearranged, peace existing in all these different numerous ways. And so it's kind of satisfying in many ways in just this short passage of 10 verses to see that, like, all of the orders of our creation, right, caused by calamity will, you know, change, and the groanings of creation, right, will cease, peace exist. And so simply enough, right, that should be the story of Jesus as he comes to earth. It's the story of resolution and the story of peace. And so in the here and now, you know, can I really buy that idea? And this is where I'll kind of like give my own little opinions and thoughts on how I relate to Christmas, because this is something that I think often about, right? Like, how excited should I be as a Christian about this time of the year? And what's the right posturing and towards, you know, how do I approach this season with all of its mix of different things and the exciting, right? And maybe not so exciting. And ultimately, right, like, we should be able to stop and say, hey, listen, this is good, and this season is good. I should be able to draw closer to Christ in a time when, like, the entirety of our world pauses, and not always doing it in a good way, but in many different ways, thousand different ways, like, acknowledges, like, God came to earth, put on flesh as a baby to save us from our sins. Like, celebrate that, you know, and think about all the ways we can do it. I'm going to start with, like, the figgy pudding, gifts and songs and lights, Christmas songs and Christmas remixes, pie, quiet, familiar, you know, families under blankets, ugly Christmas sweater parties for the ladies, and bacon celebrations for the gentlemen, right? Excuses to see family, like silly traditions and sacred traditions, and escape from my to-do list. I think about in my like history, everyone has this little history of how they experience Christmas. And like, I see the album cover to Nat King Cole's Christmas album. It's actually like, we've got the vinyls at my parents' house, and I see him sitting in a sweater and has a hot cocoa, and we're putting that little record. It's the only time I ever hardly used record players as a kid, put that on at the record player and just let it go. And like, it's like warm and fuzzy. It's good. It's peaceful, right? And I think those things should be celebrated, as well as, you know, just the general spreading of good cheer, Scrooges being changed, elves finding dads, and like the Spirit of God, his peace beaming in our hearts. And like, just like we talked about in children's sermon, right? Like, if we were probably better, if I was better at least, I could probably balance it all really well between the busy, tumultuous twirling that, you know, has to go on, and then also the slow, calm reflection of recognizing that that Jesus came to earth, and I can celebrate that and rest in that. One of my favorite poems out there, my favorite poet, did write a song on Christmas, and it kind of relates a little bit, right, to the music theme that we've been talking about. And I will say, you know, just listening to you know, after we sang this morning, just the thought that, man, Christmas is a time of music is a reason for that too. You know, we've got a lot of concerts and songs, and it's full of music because it connects us well, I think, with the things that we sometimes should be thinking more about. And so I really appreciated his prayer there to end that, even in a song that's not a Christmas song, it is well with my soul, that's what we're talking about here. But anyway, and this poet has a great beard, probably one of the best out there. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. wrote a poem. We probably know it more as a song. And the lyrics go like this. He goes, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And mild and sweet their songs repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing like a choir they're singing. In my heart I hear them, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And just such a beautiful portrait of how this music can connect with, right? Every time we hear the bells singing, it can be a reminder, peace on earth, goodwill to men, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And so, like, it should remind us of these happy things, but it doesn't necessarily always reflect that way in my heart. And I feel like that more and more as I get older, gone are my younger years of excitement and only the good things that come with Christmas. I think it's a little harder. I'm not going to lie. Now that I get older, maybe it's just because I'm busy. I used to think it was maybe, me just being good. I'm good at Christmas. I enjoy it. I can relax at that time and soak it all in and feel maybe that spirit a little bit. But that's not the case, necessarily. And I will not lie to you standing here today, right? Like, I would probably describe Christmas so far and this season as more about stress, anxiousness. I'm thinking about things I need to do, the gifts I need to buy. I keep forgetting butter at the stores, so those cookies I was talking about earlier, harder to make. Amazon deliveries, like refusing to come up my driveway because of the snow. At some point, my kids will complain about stomach aches from the Christmas cookies that they do get, even if we're not making them. Already thinking ahead to our Christmas plans and our arrangements for travel. My parents' house is like way undersized for all the 19 cousins that are going to be there here in a couple weeks. I'm not going to lie, Forrest Frank's Christmas album is probably like his worst, actually. And I have things I still need to do on my to-do list, even if I just know I won't get through them, right? They're just going to be there, and I'll be thinking about them through the holidays. And like, if I turn on the TV, I'm reminded on TV commercials that there are people who live in the mountains and buy their loved ones luxury vehicles for Christmas. Like not Instapots or things like that. And those are just the superficial problems. And so what's great about this poem from Longfellow, all right, is that he reflects on these things because after those first two stanzas, he turns to a third stanza, which is kind of an interesting one if you've ever really paid much attention to the song. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. He says, and in despair, I bow my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. What an interesting song, right? Like talking about playing the gamut of, is this, hey, listen to this happy song, music, beautiful, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And he stops and reflects and says, but is it, right? Is our world really like that? And I'm just talking about my own little superficial, silly problems that I've had, right? Talk about the bigger, deeper issues that we see in our world and it resounds in the third stanza of this song. Dig deeper, right? You'll find the world's full of people just like feeling out Christmas for the first time, maybe without a loved one that they've had to experience, you've been able to experience with their whole life. The mix of fractured families and people who aren't going to be able to experience the holiday the right way. Like there is true brokenness and sadness at this time of the year. Like real pain out there, right? And oddly enough, because it's supposed to be a season of together and a season of warmth and comfort and peace. If you don't have that, it's worse. It magnifies that effect. And so, you know, what a deep thought in that stanza. And in despair, I hung my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. This is probably the point, right, when like Charlie Brown goes, so what's the point of Christmas? If you've seen the special, hopefully we all have, little Linus comes up with his blanket and says, I think I know the answer, right? And he begins with a short, it's like the speech is like 35 seconds long, and he says, right there in Luke 2, the angels and shepherds, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. You know, and Charles M. Schulz, you know, God bless his soul for including that because those are like all the sentiments and feelings that can revolve and swirl around this season. The chaos, the craziness. I can't even imagine trying to, like, what are they doing, a play? Like, put on a theater production in the midst of the Christmas season. But here, you know, he stands up and gives this speech. And it's good and it's awesome, right? Because here we have an answer to that question. And it is a baby in the manger, right? But it doesn't just stop there. And that's kind of what, you know, why is that the case? Because oftentimes our world will just leave it at that, that this is Christmas. Christmas is about more than just the season, more about than just the things and the presents and the trees, right? It's about a little baby in a manger. But that baby, right, didn't just stay in that manger. You know, he grew up, he became a man, right? And ultimately the story and the story of how we find peace in our hearts extends so far, right? And it extends to the cross and it extends to his forgiving work for us and final and complete. And so we have to kind of remember that Jesus is an active part of our redemption story. And so I've got the next passage up here. It's going to come from Philippians. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I can celebrate and find peace because the Lord's at hand, right? He is present and active in our lives. And he chooses to, like, transmute his character. He chooses to put himself into our souls and molds us to become more like him and transform our hearts, like, in the here and now and in the midst of all of the things that we have going on in our world, 2025. In John 14, 27, he says these words, some of his final words, right? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so Jesus stands before the Father on our behalf, right? The Lord is at hand so that we can know peace with God and isn't really like the ultimate calamity. And the lack of peace is the fact that we stand because of our sin and our decisions, right? We stand at odds with God. And so because of that, the story of Christ and the story of him entering this earth and the story of him ultimately leading us, right, to a point where we, in our sinful ways, God doesn't see that. He no longer sees that, and he sees Christ instead. Got a quote here from a passage I had pulled from Gentle and Lowly. Daniel, when he started today, gave us the quote as Jesus describes his character as one of gentle and lowly. And so pulled up that quote, throw it up there. Yeah, it says, what a comfort it is now in our daily approach to God to minister boldness to us in all our suits, that we go to God in the name of the one he loves, in whom his whole soul delights, that we have a friend in court, a friend in heaven for us, that is at the right hand of God and interposes himself there for us. In all our suits that make us acceptable, that perfumes our prayers and makes them acceptable. Be sure, therefore, in all our suits to God, to take along our elder brother, Jesus. God looks upon us, lovely in him, and delights in us as we are members of him. And so that right there is such a beautiful example, right? That we go to God in the name of Jesus, right? In whom his soul delights, that we have a friend in court whose name is Jesus, a friend in heaven for us, who is actively standing there on our behalf, perfuming our prayers, making them acceptable. And just love that portrait that paints, because it shows, you know, Jesus' work is active in our souls, active as our the person standing before God, right? And when God looks at us, he sees Jesus and how beautiful that can be, right? And that's it. That's the story of how we should feel, you know, when it comes to peace in our world and all the things that we have going on. Jesus tells me I can know peace through his finished work as Redeemer. And he is the Prince of Peace. Again, let's kind of just go back a little bit to Isaiah 11. Jesus will reign and reign in wisdom. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. All creation is being transformed by him. The very fabric of nature will no longer be filled with strife or friction and death. The wolf lies down with the lamb. The nursing child plays over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So as we kind of like look forward this year, and as we start thinking about the season and what it means and how we can posture ourselves in a way that actively reflects the goodness of Christ in our lives, I think it's probably okay to like sit and dwell and rest in things like good music and good celebrations and like silly and sacred traditions. And those are good things. Just like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, if you're into it, that's great, right? Like that can be a good thing. I probably won't find peace in that song unless it's played by Jack Johnson. But ultimately, right, like our peace rests in the fact that Jesus died on the cross, saved us from our sins. And ultimately, when God looks at our story and our situation, right, we can know with certainty, okay, with confidence, that we can be filled with peace as we get the reminders of that, right, this season, all the ways and all the shapes and all the sounds and the noises and the smells that go forward. So I thought I'd end today with the continuation of that Wadsworth poem, Wadsworth Longfellow poem, right? The next stanza after that third one that we had reflected on, the fourth one reads, "Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail and the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men." Then ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The beautiful portrait there of like God is not dead. He is active and active in our world, right? And he is redeeming creation. And ultimately, in the end, will redeem all of creation. But our hearts can be at rest during this time period, and we can find true rest and peace in the fact that the final and finished work of Jesus on the cross makes me right with God. So if you guys could, let's pray and we'll go on to the Lord's Supper. Dear God, I thank you so much for the truth of your word, for the fact that even in the midst of what seems like brokenness and strife and chaos, that you bring peace to that. And I just praise you for giving us the word and giving us Jesus. Thank you for the chance every year to stop and reflect on that and be able to just rest in your peace, knowing that your arms are around us. In your name I pray. Amen.